Hello, Team Eagles. Welcome to this Momentum Monday call. It's coming up to Thanksgiving, so in case I forget at the end, I wish you a very, very blessed and happy Thanksgiving. There are so many things for which we all can be and are thankful, not least of which is Juice Plus, the product, and for most of us, the business of Juice Plus. Tonight, we're going to be discussing Chapter 7 of the book GoPro, Skill Number 4. But before we get into Chapter 7, let me make some positioning statements for us. Really as a reminder, especially for Pam, who is on the corner and who's brand new, so just to make sure Pam knows what on earth we're talking about. The seven skills which this book identifies and recommends that we all need to be successful in a business like Juice Plus, and we've added an eighth skill because the Juice Plus business is so oriented towards, it's so dependent on our customers. The customers are the lifeblood of our business. Our customers are a major focal point for our business, and so customer care, caring for our customers is such an important skill. But skill number four tonight is follow-up, and follow-up fits perfectly between the previous skill, which we discussed last week, which is sharing Juice Plus and sharing the virtual franchise that is our business with our prospects, and next week's topic, which is helping our prospects become customers or become Juice Plus representatives, and or, I should say. But let's go back to the beginning. Skill number one, identifying prospects for Juice Plus and for our business. That is a skill, it is a discipline, and I won't go into that, but you can listen to the recording of that call to know just what an important discipline it is. Too often, as we discussed, people jump into sharing Juice Plus, inviting prospects to take a look without having laid a foundation, which is what that skill number one is all about. Skill number two, as I mentioned, is inviting our prospects, and prospects simply means friends, family, even strangers we meet, inviting those folks to understand, just simply to understand what Juice Plus the product is, and for some of them, 10 to 20% of them, to understand what our business is all about. So that's skill number two. Skill number three then, having gone through that identifying and inviting process, is sharing Juice Plus and sharing our virtual franchise with those people for whom it's appropriate. And it's not appropriate for everyone, as we discussed. And then the sharing will lead to that person that we are sharing with agreeing to watch a DVD, watch an online video, listen to a CD, join us on a conference call. So basically, using our tools, the tools of our business, with those for whom the product and or the business are appropriate. So that's the sharing skill, skill number three. Following a key fundamental part of that sharing is setting an appointment. So when we have shared the video, the DVD, the CD with the person, they've agreed that they will listen to or watch the DVD, then we say when would be a good time to call. We set an appointment specifically, a day and a time, and we confirm that with our prospect. And having done that, now we are on the hook, so to speak. And that brings us to follow-up. We always say, and it's very good to read the very first line of Chapter 7 on the subject, that the fortune is in the follow-up. And it's absolutely true. Our success or our lack of success very often depend on our being really good at or not so good at follow-up. And I want us to discuss this skill, this chapter, in three stages. The first is to discuss what the author, Eric Worre, calls the concepts. He goes through four concepts of follow-up. I would really call these principles. Second, we'll discuss follow-up briefly in the context of sharing the Juice Plus product with people and then doing follow-up on the product. And then thirdly, spend a little more time looking at follow-up on those folks that we have shared the virtual franchise business with, which is really most of the second part of this, second half of this chapter. So the follow-up principles, or as he calls them, concepts. Number one, follow-up is doing what you said you would do. Number two, follow-up is to set up the next exposure. The only reason to have one exposure is to set up the next one. I'll come back to that in a moment. Number three is the fact that it takes an average person 4 to 6 exposures for the average person to decide. And that's a truth which applies right across the board to anyone buying almost anything, especially when that thing they're buying, that thing they're choosing, is something quite new, quite different, quite radical. And these days, fruits and vegetables in a capsule, even though Juice Plus has been around 20 years, is still quite radical. And then concept number four is his suggestion that when possible, we condense those 4 to 6 exposures for better results. So let's go back to concept number one, which is the most important, because once we've made that appointment for follow-up, then we're on the hook. Our integrity is on the line. Now, that may sound rather judgmental, but I'm really pointing the finger at myself. If I set an appointment to call this person, here's an example, great example. Gretchen is on the phone, and she will have me on the phone at 8 o'clock our time and Arizona time to speak to a prospect of hers for the business. And we will be on that call because Gretchen set it up. We've all three agreed that we'll make the call, and we will do so. Our integrity is on the line, is at stake. So what would you, anyone on the call, say about that? Does, for instance, do you think it makes it easier for us to do this follow-up, to make the call that we promised to make when we have made the promise? Or is it simply easier not to make the promise? What would you say, anybody?
Would you repeat that, Nick?
Yeah, sure. It's the concept of follow-up is doing what you said you would do. So, for instance, there are two distinctly different approaches that people adopt. Usually people adopt the first approach because they don't know any better. Sometimes they may adopt this approach because it doesn't put them in such a position. So the first approach is the amateur approach, as the author of the book would put it. Amateurs will share Juice Plus, share a DVD, a CD, and they won't set an appointment. They won't ask if this particular time on this particular day is good for the prospect for them to follow up with. The other approach is to make that appointment and then to make the call. So, Judy, what would your experience be of that? I don't want to put you on the spot, but which approach do you think works better for you?
To make the appointment and to follow up and be there on time.
Yeah. Well, you're a woman of integrity. I know that about you, so it's no surprise you would say that. But I would guess that in your experience, you've been with us quite a long time, you've probably seen some of your team members who don't necessarily do that. And how does that work for them?
It doesn't work at all.
Have you tried to coach them in maybe doing it differently, doing a better job?
Sometimes it's in another line, and so I don't feel like that's appropriate. But yes, I strongly urge them to follow up like they should.
Yeah. Do you think it's human nature that maybe a lot of people don't, or is it our culture maybe even?
Well, in here, I think it describes it. You're either professional or you're not.
True. Yeah, he says you're an amateur, you're a poser, or you're a professional. Mm-hmm. And certainly the professionals do that. And it's a skill that's learned, but also it's a principle that I think, you know, we hopefully most of us, a principle that we stand by. Okay, let's talk about exposures. Anyone, what's your experience been sharing Juice Plus with a person who had no clue you could get fruits and vegetables in a capsule? And have you had the experience? Well, okay, Val Cooper, you're on the call. You're one of the five percenters. When you saw Juice Plus, what was your reaction, Val?
Well, I instantly wanted it. Yeah, I did think, why didn't I do this? Because it was difficult to get people to juice, so it just made sense.
Right, you were a juicer, you had run a juice bar in London, you knew all about juicing, and to realize that you could get the benefits without all the hassle?
Yeah, and I hadn't been juicing, that was the thing. So.
Of course, because you've been on the road, and yeah, that's right.
Mm, mm.
Yeah, so, you know, Val, you were one of those not totally rare individuals, but certainly it didn't take multiple exposures for you to want Juice Plus and very quickly to want the business. But you're unusual.
Yeah, I realized there were a lot of people that didn't like juice, so I thought it would be easy for them as well. But I have struggled with the business, to be honest, and reading this whole chapter, I like the way he's addressed all those questions that come up that I really wasn't prepared for. So for the people that are new, it's wonderful that you are now having this book in your hands to prepare you, and for this guy in this book to give you all the answers. So that you don't, because he says in that book, you know, when people ask you certain questions, you do get a bit scared when they say, oh, is it MLM or pyramid? And in this chapter, he's addressing that. So that's wonderful, I think, for all the people that are new.
That's right. Let's come back to the product. So in your case, Val, you were so quick to get it, and you wanted it, and I would guess that when you started sharing Juice Plus, the product, with other people, you were surprised when some of them didn't get it, were you?
Oh, for sure, yeah. Yeah, I was so sad.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're a nicer person than me. For me, the people that I was sharing it with, they didn't get it. I thought they were just silly.
Yeah,
I was a bit more judgmental than you, Val.
Frustrating.
It's still frustrating when I meet people and I tell them about it and they don't get it. But, you know, what's your experience been, or anyone else, of it taking a number of exposures? So, you know, the first exposure for most people is when we say to someone, gosh, did you know that you can get fruits and vegetables in a capsule? Or if it's a stranger who says, well, what do you do? Jenny's got a great new line. Well, Jenny, what do you say now when someone says, what do you do?
I say, I'm a rep for the Juice Plus company. Tell me, have you heard of Juice Plus?
I love that. Simple, straightforward. And so for whatever reason, you say to people, have you heard of Juice Plus? And they say, no, what is it? Or they may say, well, I think so. That's some kind of a juice, isn't it? So when you say, you know, it's fruits, vegetables, and capsule, that is, for most people, the first exposure. Even for us, we've been doing this for 20 years. I would say 9 times out of 10, someone will say, no, never heard of it. What is it? Now, the 1 out of 10 who may say, yes, I have heard of it, they may even have taken it in the past, because, you know, you go back 20 years, a lot of people who have taken Juice Plus in the past and stopped for whatever reason. So in that 1 out of 10 case, they will have already had several exposures before. And in many cases, we're finding someone will say, yeah, I used to take Juice Plus. And we'll say, well, gosh, why did you stop? And I would guess, Jenny, wouldn't you say 50% of the time we manage to get those people back on Juice Plus?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, easily 50%.
Yep.
And it's easier because they know what JuicePass is. And we're able to sort of bring them up to speed with how much better even it is today than it was in the past when they were taking it. But for those people for whom it's the first exposure, we know that, okay, so that first conversation, fruits and vegetables in a capsule, really? Wow, okay. And then it's extremely unlikely that that person will be like Val Cooper and jump on it right away. And so we need to get them to listen to a CD. We need to use the tools. Listen to a CD, watch a DVD, watch an online video. And when they've done that, the mistake that the amateur makes is to think that is enough, that our first conversation and getting them to watch a DVD or a video or listen to a CD is enough. In that conversation, we also share our story. And I would say sharing our story, if we do a good job of it, a brief 60-second sharing our story, our true story of why we love Juice Plus, with some enthusiasm, with some passion, that would be another exposure. So the initial conversation, the sharing our story, the CD or the DVD, that will be three. But the author makes it clear that the average person needs 4 to 6 exposures. So the follow-up, this follow-up phone call, I would say is the fourth exposure in that situation, that case. Would anyone agree with that? What other exposures do you think have you found useful in helping people to, you know, get through those exposures to be able to make an educated decision?
Well, this is Gretchen. I think some of the other exposures are, you know, we've had people come, you know, a couple of times to our wellness presentations or to come hear a doctor speak or, you know, we've had other, you know, where they do that. So that might be one or two of the exposures.
Absolutely, Gretchen. And in your experience, do you think that having them come to a wellness presentation, having them, you know, bringing them to one of the great Prevention Plus seminars with great speakers, aren't those, in your experience, more effective than the others, you know, CDs and DVDs?
Definitely, because, I mean, you have a professional. I mean, even though the DVDs are professional, but you've had that personal touch with them, number one, by inviting them, and that you're there with them. Whereas a DVD is like you kind of hope that they watch it, but you're not sure. You're not there in the room with them unless you do the wellness presentation where you actually put it in, you know, and then they're there and they watch it. But, you know, it's definitely more personal, and they're always, you know, thankful that you've invited them. They always pick up something new, you know, to hear.
Yeah, you know, we have the expression, a picture is worth 1,000 words. By the way, a video is worth 1,000,000 words. But in that context, or in that spirit, I think an event, even a small event, you know, with just a handful of people in your home, but especially the bigger events with very impressive doctor, you know, healthcare professional speakers, those themselves are worth a number of exposures, you know, easily 4 to 6 exposures, simply because, as you say, because of the personal touch, the fact that they meet other people, you know, they will hear from other people telling their stories, other people saying why they love Juice Plus. So, yeah, those events are worth a lot of exposures. Okay, needing to move on quickly, the last concept of condensing exposures, I won't go into that, that's fairly obvious. The other thing I wanted to say and make clear is that there is a perfectly good training on follow-up, very specifically follow-up to get a person from first base or from home plate all the way to deciding to buy Juice Plus at our teamjp.net team website. Jenny and I did an audio training on that. It's about 10-15 minutes long earlier this year. You can listen to that there. The page is full of a lot more advice, including answers to questions about Juice Plus, the kind of questions that, that people have. So let me move on now to the third of the subjects I want to talk about, which is follow up more specifically about the business. And going into that, Val, you mentioned that you weren't prepared for people asking you questions when you were sharing the business with people, when they said, for instance, oh, is this MLM? Yeah, that dreaded question. How do you feel about that now that you're a pro in Juice Plus, Val Cooper?
You said I was a pro. I don't know about that. Well, it depends what day it is.
doesn't it for all of us? Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm still, with that particular question, I must admit, I'm still not brilliant at the question of, oh, is it a pyramid or MLM? You know, I know Jen is really much better with that because she's calm and doesn't get defensive, and she says, how do you ask that? And I think of that, and I need to, you know, instead of going into that defensive mode and trying to then tell them way too much about our Juice Plus company and how wonderful it is, I need to just say less and just ask a few questions. And I like what he said in the book when he's talking about the person and gauging their emotion and then saying, hang on a minute, have you been involved in an MLM yourself? Tell me your story and let them then whatever their, you know, why they are kind of against it or what's their feeling around it.
Yeah, I mean, he talks about the fact that in many cases, especially if we're still an amateur at this, not a professional at this, you're right. It, you know, your stomach jumps into your throat and you get a little nervous, and the tendency is when we get nervous is to get defensive and or talk too much. Whereas, mm-hmm. by far the best thing to say is, wow, what a great question. Tell me, why did you ask?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not what Eric says, but you know, we discussed this, I think it was last week on this call. The very best question you can ask in a conversation is, why did you ask that? Obviously, mm-hmm. it only works if they've asked you a question. But whatever the question is, doesn't matter what it is. For instance, they might say, oh gosh, so this company is 43 years old and Juice Plus has been around 20 years. Isn't it too late to get in?
Mm.
And you know, you might start to say, wow, not at all. Absolutely not. It's not too late. Well, that is just as bad as trying to, you know, trying to explain that our business is not, no, it's not MLM, it's not network marketing, it's not. No, mm-hmm. that's not in the most effective way to handle it. The most effective way to handle that question is wow, what an interesting question. Before I try to answer it, tell me, why do you ask?
Mm.
And here's the reason that question is so important, Val, and everybody else listening to this, whether it's live or recorded, is we assume that we know why they're asking.
Exactly.
Guess what? Yeah. We don't know why they're asking. I think a couple of weeks ago I mentioned that way, way back in our first year of working with Juice Plus, we were at a Christmas party, and a fellow, a complete stranger I met there, got into conversation with him, told him about, he asked me, what do you do? And I probably bumbled something about Juice Plus, and he said, what's that? And I said, well, it's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. And he said, wow, is that multi-level? And I can't remember what I said, but the fact is he was really excited, and he joined the business and got on Juice Plus at the same time. And he, more than any other single person on our team at that time, helped us, Jenny and I, to reach the top position, National Marketing Director in this company. And so, you know, you just don't know. So before you assume that you know why a person is asking any question, the most important thing to do is say, great question, why? Tell me, why did you ask? So I know how to answer your question. Anyway, any other thoughts on that, anybody?
Hey, Nick, this is Lori.
Hi, Lori, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I mentioned last week how much I really love that transition into talking with someone about why you asked that question, because it takes it off of me as a distributor. It takes the focus off of me and put it on them. And when we're actually building this relationship with a potential distributor that we may have, it's all about relationship building. So my thought is the first step in that is getting to know them. And once you get to know them by that door opening question, which I think is amazing, then they'll open up, even if it's just a little bit, and then we can take that and run. I really like that opening there, Mick.
That's right, Laurie. I remember you said that last week, and you're right on. It is all about relationships, and the relationship comes first, and the relationship remains first, whether they decide for the Juice Plus product or for the Juice Plus business or not. You know, we've done that, we've discussed that before. It is so important. It is close to the number one principle by which we operate. And I know you're a woman of integrity too. You're a godly woman, Lori Brown, and that's important to you too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, our integrity is something we carry with us everywhere, and our integrity needs to be rock solid. And asking great questions in the way that we do and the way we train people to do in this business is not manipulative. It's not to get what we want. It's to make sure that we are offering what the other person needs.
You know, Mick, it reminds me of that phrase that we coined, gosh, a couple of years ago now, which was meet the need.
Yes.
And that was all to do with asking questions, because as Laurie says, if you don't build that relationship, if you don't know where that person's coming from, whether it be their background of health and their reason for interest in Juice Plus, or whether it be the background of experience, whether it's network marketing, whether they're positive, negative, you know, whether they need to be making more money, you have to meet the need. And you do that by asking questions. And by asking questions, the other interesting thing is that they'll think you're a great conversationalist,
yeah,
even
absolutely.
If they do all the talking. People love to talk about themselves.
Yeah, exactly right. And going back to that first principle, you know, follow-up, we need to make that call that we promised we would make, because the author says, you know, people will respect that. And in our culture, it's getting rare for people to do what they say they will do. I mean, I'm trying not to be judgmental, but one of the biggest disappointments in this business, and most of you on this call have invited people to events and they simply haven't turned up. And I'm sorry, to me that's simply rude. If they call ahead of time and say, I'm sorry, I had every intention of being there, but something came up, or even if they called and said, I changed my mind, I don't want to come, I can handle that. I can deal with that. I can honor, respect them for their honesty. I would rather they said that, called and said that, than simply not turn up. So yeah, integrity is, you know, it's such an important part of all of this. The other thing that the author beautifully comes back to time and time again is our goal in all of this is education and understanding. And so, yeah, Jenny, meet the need. It's all about that. We have an acronym, T-I-N-Y, spells TINY, stands for their interests, not yours. Their needs, not yours. And, you know, if we always remember that, and, you know, value, you're right that, and Gretchen, that it doesn't need to be all about us. you know, and that's another point he made in an earlier chapter. Take ourselves out of the equation. Make it not about us. Make it about the other person. Makes a huge difference. Okay, the part of this chapter which goes through handling questions and objections, it's helpful, but I would say we don't need canned answers to questions, although you'll find some suggested answers to very common questions about Juice Plus product. But when it comes to answering questions or being in a conversation about the business, it's no different from a basic principle we have used for all these years and that we recommend and teach and train on when handling questions about the product. And it is the feel, felt, found. Jenny, you're better at this than I am. Why don't you quickly explain feel, felt, found to our listeners?
Oh, my gosh. Well, if somebody raises any sort of objection, whether it be price or they take vitamins or they eat fruits and vegetables or, you know, whatever it is, rather than, again, get defensive or argumentative, we use a feel, felt, found. I know how you feel. Honestly, I felt the same way. Let's take price as an example. You know, I know how you feel. I felt the same way. My goodness, I started taking Juice Plus 20 years ago. And, you know, they've only had 2 price increases since then. So you can imagine how I felt back then. You've got the feel, felt, found. What I found over the years is that, oh, my gosh, you know, Juice Plus has saved us money. And I can say this from the heart because we've changed our food choices. We don't waste money on junk food. We don't get sick like we used to. We don't have doctor's visits, even over-the-counter medication, you know, honestly. So that's just an example. A feel, felt, found. It immediately puts you on their side. You're not becoming confrontational. They feel you're being empathetic, and you can work around it.
Yep, that's exactly right. And using the business example, if someone says, oh, is this network marketing? And I'll say, wow, interesting question. Tell me, why do you ask? And if they say, well, I tried a couple of those and, you know, this happened or that happened, and I really hated that about them. And I will say, well, you know what? I know how you feel because for the first few years of this business, we've been with this company 23 years now, for the first probably 4 or 5 years, this business was a lot like traditional network marketing. And honestly, some of that made me pretty uncomfortable. But what we have as a business model today is so different from that. It's like night and day difference. So I didn't use all the words feel, felt, found. But the essence of it is to meet them where they are, to establish some empathy with them. So rather than saying, no, it's not network marketing, getting defensive, da-da-da-da-da, or if they say, gosh, it seems a bit expensive, rather than say, oh, it's not expensive, it's incredibly cheap, rather than do that, all that's doing is you know, driving them into the corner and saying, essentially saying, you're totally wrong. That doesn't work too well. And actually, it's rude again. So, yeah, feel, felt, found. It's such a more empathetic and friendly way to handle people's questions. Anyone else got? Yes, go ahead.
It's Lori again. How would you handle that if you're a new person coming in when you don't really have that experience under your belt? I know how you feel.
Good question. So for a new person who doesn't have any experience in network marketing, you're saying, Lori?
Yes.
Right. That's a good question. Well, I think I would use, as the author of the book says in this chapter, he says, use people's stories.
Mm-hmm.
So use someone else's story. And, I mean, you can use my story. You can say, well, you know, one of my main mentors in Juice Plus, he had He has had experience in this business going back 23 years. And what he has explained to us is that this business was, back in the old days, in the, you might say, bad old days, it was very traditional network marketing, very old school. But today, it is totally, totally different. Anyone else got a suggestion as to how you might handle that? Another approach is to do what we do often when describing this virtual franchise, this business model, is to say, well, we've taken the best elements of four or five different businesses, direct sales, internet marketing, the corporate business model, and network marketing. So we've taken the best of network marketing, but we've rejected all of the other elements that we didn't need and that are often seen as negatives. So that would be another way of approaching it. I know how you feel, but we've only taken the very best of network marketing, and the rest of our business model is just like corporate, direct sales, franchising. That's the other one, like a traditional franchise, except none of the overheads, none of the cost elements of a franchise. How does that sound, Lori?
That sounds great. And I was kind of thinking along those lines of taking it once again off of me and using the testimonials. Because what I found on the sites is so many testimonials of people and their experience in Juice Plus. That's like phenomenal to be able to maybe pick out the favorites, which ones that are your favorites that you can just pull out in situations
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the other thing is that the videos we have that explain how our business model works, those videos are so, well, I say videos, there are different segments. You know, if you take someone to the juiceplusvirtualfranchise.com website, which is our business website, and if you take them through that, you'll find scattered through the pages very short video clips featuring real people who've been successful in the Juice Plus virtual franchise business. And they come from many different walks of life. And they're all, you know, nice, normal, ordinary people. Nothing extraordinary about them. And so using the tools for explaining the business, for helping someone understand our business, is also a great way to handle that. So if someone says, yeah, but it looks like network marketing to me, I would say, yeah, I understand. I understand exactly where you're coming from. But why don't we look at this website? Let's watch a couple of the videos, and let's see if you can see how different this is from traditional old-school network marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, look, we're at the end of our 40 minutes. Well, thanks, everybody, for being on. Thank you for your contributions. Next week, we're going to be looking at the next two skills. We're going to combine helping your prospects become customers or Juice Plus reps and customer care. I want to combine those two next week. So thanks, everyone, for being on the call. We wish you a wonderful, happy Thanksgiving and a great Juice Plus week. As you're meeting friends and family over the holidays, don't forget to ask them if they've ever heard of Juice Plus. Talk to you next week. God bless. Bye for now.
Thank you, Mick and Jenny.
Thank you.
Thank you.